Well, we catch up with our two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus after spending some time in Jerusalem. Now, they had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. To celebrate the time of being liberated, that their people being liberated from 430 years of captivity, of slavery, of being liberated from the oppression of the Pharaohs and of the people of Egypt, and led them to salvation. You know, salvation is being set free from something you can't set yourself free from. And that's what the Lord did to the nation of Israel under captivity in Egypt. So they had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate that. That's why all the Jews were traveling, why they were in Jerusalem for the first place. And as they were going there to celebrate Passover, it makes us think, well, what was that Passover? What happened at the very first Passover? Well, the Israelites had been in captivity for 430 years, and the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron to go set the people free. Well, it was got to the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn. Well, the Israelites were to prepare for this time, the time for the Lord to pass over them in this time of deliverance. And in preparation for that, they would have to, each family was encouraged to go find a lamb and to slaughter it and to cook it and to prepare it and to prepare just enough so that their family could eat all of it. If your family was too small, you would maybe split up between two families because they wanted every piece of this animal to be consumed. And they were to eat it in haste, eat it quickly, because the Lord's deliverance would be swift. It would be complete when He would pass over the land of Egypt. And they would eat this lamb with bitter herbs and with unleavened bread. And they would take the blood from the slaughtered lambs and put it on their doorframes, put it on the doorframes along the doorposts of their house, so that when the Lord passed over, any ones who were celebrating His passing over and their coming deliverance, the Lord would pass over their house. And the plague was to be upon all the firstborn of all the land of Egypt, every firstborn male and every firstborn animal as well. And this would be to commemorate for generations to come from this point on, to celebrate the deliverance and liberation that was coming to them from the Lord. And they were to celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Because yeast takes time. Yeast takes time for the bread to rise. And yeast was a symbol of the sin that was amongst the people, a symbol of their time away from the Lord. And so they were to eat unleavened bread, and for 7 days from the time the Passover started, eat the unleavened bread with the slaughtered lamb and the herbs, but then for 7 days afterward to continue eating this bread again, to be eaten in haste. You know, it wouldn't take time, long time to cook up bread that doesn't have leaven or have yeast in it. And so it was going to be quick, it was going to be swift, and they would be ready to leave and to be set free. Well, at midnight, after all the those who were obedient slaughtered the lamb, prepared it, cooked it, ate the herbs, ate the unleavened bread, had their dough ready for the next 7 days that they would continue to celebrate, the Lord came through, and all firstborn who did not have the blood on the door frames were killed. And of course, the Pharaoh, enough was enough, finally broke his heart. He tells them, get up, leave, go and worship your God. And check this, he even says, and ask Him to bless me in this. See, God provided redemption. He provided liberation. He provided liberation from slavery into a law and into a land that He had promised them. He was liberated these people into to live the way God had always wanted them, in freedom and under His lordship. And what a day of celebration that would have been. A day of being set free. We are free. We are no longer slaves. We are no longer oppressed. We have a promise. We have a hope. We have a future. We have God. We have a law. And we have a land to possess. And so these disciples walking from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus had just gone to Jerusalem to experience and celebrate this Passover feast. Well, they went and celebrated the Passover, but they also experienced the death of Jesus and then His burial.
And as they were walking and talking along the road after these things had happened, this was a Passover unlike any other Passover time they ever experienced. They didn't expect to have had this happen to their Lord and their at that time. They had years, every year had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to eat the unleavened bread, and to return home living in that celebration and in that liberation. And here we catch up with them in Luke 24, verse 28. As they approached the village to where they were going, to Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in and stayed with them. And as he's in there with them, they invite him into their homes, doing what they would normally do to any guest, invite him to their table, prepared a simple meal of anything they had, and together they were unified, and they were in fellowship one with another. And in Luke 24, verse 30, it says, he takes over the hosting here. That's kind of unheard of, to be a guest in someone's house and then you take the hosting responsibility. But he does. He's reclining at the table. They have everything in common. They're in fellowship with one another. And then Jesus, he was at the table with them. And this is what he does. Again, they're kept from recognizing him at this point. They don't know it's him, but it is him. But they have not yet seen it. As he's with them at the table, he took the bread. And he gave thanks. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. While he was taking a hold of this bread, thinking about what they would have thought of when he grabs the bread. They would have thought of the unleavened bread that they had just partaken in the Passover. They may have thought all the way back to the time of, yes, this was the sign of the Lord's deliverance of our people out of 430 years of slavery. And perhaps they would have thought of the bread around the Passover that 12 of the disciples, probably not Cleopas and his companion, but Jesus and his 12, they also had gone to Jerusalem. They also had celebrated the Passover. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 7, they probably would have heard this story. So when he takes up the bread, maybe thinking of this. Then the day came of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So here was the day of celebration, a day of Jesus and his disciples celebrating this time of being set free. The day came of the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." A time of celebration. You feel the energy here. This is what all the people have come to Jerusalem to do, to come and to celebrate, to remember this time of freedom, this time of salvation that the Lord had given his people and that he's commanded for us. And year after year, we've continued to celebrate our freedom and our liberation. He says, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." And so they do. And they happen to have an upper room in someone else's house to have this meal. And so they prepare the slaughtered lamb. They roast it with the herbs, and they cook the unleavened bread. And they all join together, and they're reclining at the table. They have everything in common. There's a sense of joy, of celebration, of remembering. Yes, has time been hard? Yes. Is there still some pressures of the world? Yes, and they were definitely under some pressures. But yet remembering the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's salvation that he had given them. And then as they're reclining and eating, everything is normal, remembering that time, reflecting back, reflecting on their lives, sharing where they were in their walk with the Lord at that time. And then Jesus, at that Passover, does something very shocking. At that time, he took the bread. And he gave Eucharist. Eucharist? What is that? Eucharist meaning giving thanks. He gave thanksgiving. And I wonder, what did he give thanksgiving for? Was he thinking about giving thanksgiving for the bread? I don't think so. He was giving thanks to God. He took the bread and he gives thanks and praise to God, giving the attention to God, saying, God, you are holy. God, you are awesome. You are righteous. God, you are the deliverer. You are creator. God, you are the one worthy of all praise, lifting all their hearts and all their attention, giving thanks to God as he's holding the bread. And this would have been something that they would have done at any Passover. But then what he does next, he takes it, he gives thanks, and then he says to them, take this and divide it among you. And he says, I'm jumping ahead. He says, divide it among you. He says, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So now they're thinking of Egyptian delivery from Egypt, from their people. And now he says, take, eat, this is my body. What is he talking about now? What type of liberation? What is he associating himself with now? And he says, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, after the supper, he takes the cup. And this may, they may have gotten more of an idea of what he's talking about here when he takes the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Maybe they didn't quite understand what he's saying, take, eat, this is my body. But when they said the blood, they remembered what blood was all about. The blood was the sign of forgiveness, of passing over, of forgiveness, of sacrifice. The blood had to be shed on the altar for forgiveness of sins under the Levitical priesthood. And so when he says, take, this is my body, and then he says, take, drink, this is my blood. As a sign of celebration, celebrating now deliverance and freedom from what? From sin and from death. Sin and death that has become the oppressor, that has become the one that they've been captive to. And he gave thanks to God that God is the Savior. God is the one. So now back to the guys on the road to Emmaus. They're now in the home of, in their homes in Emmaus, and Jesus is at the table. Jesus is with them. And he, when he was at the table, he took the bread. He gave thanks. And he broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were open. And they recognized that it was him. And they began to say, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and as he opened the scriptures to us? Are your hearts burning right now? Are your hearts burning right now with the reality of that? That truth and what we're about to partake in, I hope your heart is burning right now. And I hope that you feel that burn. And I hope that that burn lights a fire within you for what that means and what we're gathering here to do and what we're remembering, being celebrating deliverance and liberation and freedom from the fear of sin and death. Praise God. Praise God for that breaking of that bread and the pouring of that cup. We gather together here to be liberated from sin and death, to celebrate the salvation of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, to be transformed, to allow this time to transform us, to change our hearts, to change our minds, to remember that so that we can live. We gather here together in fellowship one with another. I like how we've come together. Have you, you've got a little bit out of your comfort zone and moved by someone. But isn't it this how this, how that feeling of being together? We're not alone in this. We're the body of Christ. We come together as a community to share in this and to take this bread and take this cup and to remember the Lord. I hope that your eyes are open to see the Lord and to share this one with another. You know, I encourage you to share this together. As in a moment, I'm going to pray for the bread and have the guys come up and we'll share it and to have a prayer for the cup and we'll pass it and we'll share it. To share it one with another. To see the ones next to you. talk about it. What does this mean to you? What are you sharing it? What is the heart? What is the Lord burning in your heart right now? Is it love? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it need for forgiveness? To share in that. You know, a few weeks ago, I was blessed that, unfortunately, Leah and Finley are sick again this week. This that cough and this throat stuff is just taking over those two girls. But I was blessed 2 weeks ago to sit with Claire and Carson and scoot over and share with them, a young boy and a senior saint. And then last week to sit by Lee and Betty to share with them in that time, the time of breaking bread together, remembering the Lord and celebrating. And what a blessing it is. And that's what this time is about. So I'm going to say a prayer for the bread, and the guys come up and can pass that out, and then we'll have a prayer for the cup. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that we meet you here. God, as we are gathered together around this table that you have prepared and that you are the host of. And God, you're not just the host, but God, you are the meal. You are the bread and you are the wine. And God, you have broken it for us, and you have led by your example for us to remember God. And God, I give thanks to God. I praise God. I praise His holy name to remember Him. That, God, what can we be afraid of? What can keep us down? Not sin, not death. That, God, you bring victory and you bring salvation. And God, may that open our eyes to see you and affect and transform how we live. But God, bless us now as we take this bread as a symbol of your body. And may we share that one with another. And as we care and love and serve one another in this time. Bless this time, God. We just praise your name and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us continue to remember the Lord as we pray for Thanksgiving for Him, for what He's done for us. Father God, we continue our prayer and we continue this meal with you, God, as we gather around together with our loved ones here and as we meet you here. I pray that our hearts and our eyes are open to see you as our host. And God, as on that Passover meal, as the disciples were thinking of deliverance from Egypt, God, you had a much bigger deliverance, a deliverance from sin and death, God. And God, as you took the bread and you broke it and said, do this in remembrance of me, God, and then you took the cup and God, as we remember what the blood means, the blood was a sign for them as a Passover of death. And as we remember your Lord's body and his death and his blood that was shed, and God, we have faith and know that death will pass over us. And God, we pray for what that blood means as a sign of as a payment of forgiveness, a price that we could not pay. And that your Son paid for us, God, with His life and His blood. It was a perfect sacrifice. And God, we come together and to celebrate that. May we lift up our eyes to you and give you thanks for who you are and what you've done. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. That meal with those guys on the road to Emmaus, it wasn't the Lord's Day. It wasn't a time of communion for them, but they were communing one with another. I'd like to encourage us all in practicing the discipline of communion. The practice of any time we eat, any time we gather around a table, to remember the Lord. As we break bread in our homes daily, to remember the Lord and that He is meeting us there if we will meet Him there. And yes, there's the time that we meet first day of the week, just like we did just now, to gather and remember the Lord's body and bread and His and the cup and the blood. But let's continue to meet daily in our homes. That is a pattern of the first disciples, how they continued to meet daily in their homes, breaking bread, remembering what the Lord had done for them, and remembering His broken body and His blood. And as that unifies us, as that liberates us, as that sets us free, as that defines how we live and how we connect and how we daily can have Eucharist, we can daily give thanks to God. I don't know at which moment these disciples had their aha moment. I don't know if it was when he lifted up the bread, is when their eyes were opened. I like to think that it was when he gave thanks. When he lifted their eyes to God, and then he broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. At what point in that process did they see him? Did they recognize it? When we give thanks, and I encourage us all to daily give thanks as we gather together, to give thanks to God, to not get past God and get to the things that we're thankful for, but be reminded of the one that we are thankful to for all that. And how that lifting our eyes to Him in daily communion, one with another and with Him, can keep us in line and in following of Him. I'd like to invite you this morning as our invitation to continue to share. And as a response this morning, to come and share. To share what the Lord has revealed to you in this time of remembering the Lord this morning. As we've gathered around this table, as we have led in thoughts here, as you've hopefully had your hearts burning, what is it that was burning in your hearts? What is it that was the Lord was telling you and transforming you? Share your words of thanksgiving this morning of what the Lord has done for you. To come and share what areas of your life perhaps need to be liberated from. Things in your life that you need to be set free from, that you need to allow God to set you free. To share what has been burning in your hearts and in your life, and to share how you will put your trust in the Lord going further in your walk with the Lord. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to come in that way, in any of those ways. And I hope that some of you come. I hope you come and share what the Lord has been burning in your hearts in this moment as we continue this time of sharing. And the meal is done. The eating of the bread, the drinking of the cup is done. But you know, a meal that we eat is not just about the food. It's about the time of people. I mean, how quickly do we eat dinner and yet we still sit and visit? It's about the people we're connecting with. This meal is not just a time that we eat the bread and drink the cup. It's about meeting with the Lord. And that continue to be the conversation. For us to hang around a little bit longer, to stay late in the evening, if possible, to keep connecting. Wait for the Lord to say, enough is enough. When he starts unloosening his necktie, say, it's time to go to bed. Well, think of the good thing, he never will go to bed. You know, we get tired. He never gets weary. Let's spend all day here if we have to. Let's spend all day here with the Lord. And so I invite you in any way. I hope some of you will come and share a share of thanksgiving, of what the Lord is burning in your heart, of what you need to have be liberated from, a burden that we can lift up with you and help carry with you as we continue walking this path with the Lord. So I invite you this morning to come and give thanks as we stand and sing.